Hello and good evening from Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Good Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Nisan today. And since Rosh Chodesh Nisan today, we'll start with something that we spoke about last time, about the Ibur Shana, just a small detail to add, and then we'll go on to talk about, well, in a moment we'll say what we'll talk about. We spoke about, around Rosh Chodesh Adar, Aleph, that the idea that Yerovam Nevat made Sukkot in the 8th month because he made a leap year in the month of Elul instead of making the leap year in the month of Adar. And we mentioned that this was the Babylonian system, and indeed in the tablets from the Persepolis, which are the Persian kings, the tablets from the years around the 18th to the 20-something year of King Dariush, and indeed it's clear from there that in the 19th year of Darius' reign, they made a leap year in the month of Elul, not in the month of Adar. It mentions the first 6th month and the second 6th month. So again, we said the problem that if you add a month into in the middle of the year, so then what stops the second 6th month from becoming the 7th month? That's how they wrote it, the first sixth month and the second sixth month. So it's clear that they were Ma'aber, the month of Elul. It seems though that this was a decision on the spot. Earlier tablets from that year had no implication that it's going to be a leap year. Okay, today we're going to continue the subject of Shemitah. We spoke about the northern border, we spoke about the eastern border. Today we'll talk about the southern border, and we will also talk about the pockets in Eretz Yisrael that were considered chutzlarts, why they were considered chutzlarts, where we can actually map them, and what is their status today. So the southern border is mentioned in Parshas Maaseh. In Perek Lamed Aleph, where it gives the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it says like this: V'alachem Paras Negev Midbar Tzin Elidei Adom V'alachem Gul Negev Mikzei Yom HaMelech Kedmo. So the border starts, the Torah begins the borders of Eretz Yisrael from the southeastern corner of Eretz Yisrael. It starts Mikzei Yom HaMelech Kedma. From there it passes Malei Akabim, passes Vav Hatzin, passes Midbar Tzin. It comes out south of Kadesh Barnea. From there to Chatzar Adar, Atzmon, Nachla Mitzrayim, V'yusav Tzosav Hayom. Of all these locations, what can we know, and does everyone agree? So the answer is very hard to ever find something that everyone will agree upon. But what can I actually learn over here? First of all, it starts Mikzei Yom HaMelech Kedma. It starts from the eastern edge of the Dead Sea, passes south of Malei Akrabim, passes Kadesh Barnea, and from there goes to Nachla Mitzrayim. What is Nachal Mitzrayim? And this, of course, will be a crucial point. There are some Mefarshim, such as Rashi, and others who learn that Nachal Mitzrayim is none other than the Nilus, the Nile. And if so, it's not just Nachal Mitzrayim. In Parshas Lech Lecha, it says Hashem gave Avraham Avinu land Minahar Mitzrayim Adonar Gadol Nahar Pras. So, according to Rashi, it would be that Nahar Mitzrayim and Nachal Mitzrayim are the same thing. They're both referring to the Nile. But many other Mefarshim learn, not like that, of Sadi Goyen writes, that's the Kabbalah that we're talking about, what's known as Wadi El-Arish. Wadi El-Arish in the Sinai Desert. So that is the end point, and we'll soon look on the map and try to figure out exactly where that is, and to figure out how this goes. So first of all, we have to mention, there are various opinions. We're not coming over here to Paskin Halach Lamaisa, how it should be, but what it seems to be, and this issue is a big issue up for discussion, practical application nowadays, because the issue is where the southern border of Israel and where can he bring produce from during the Shemitah without having a problem. So we're going to go to the map now, and we're going to go to the map now and take a look at the point where it begins is from the southern tip of the Dead Sea. Now, this is a satellite map in modern times, a little deceiving. The Dead Sea, actually, the Dead Sea Basin, you can say, ended over here. The red point is the southern tip of the Dead Sea Basin. In the last 30, 40 years, the Dead Sea has been shrinking rapidly because the main waters that feed the Dead Sea, such as the Jordan River and others, have been drying up. So the southern basin of the Dead Sea, which is a shallow part, all it is 15, 20 meters deep, is basically almost dry. Today is used for one purpose only, and that's for extracting minerals, and the Dead Sea works both on the Israeli side and the Jordanian side. If we'll say that the tip of the Dead Sea is about over here. A large, as you can see, is all the way down over here. A friend of mine who published a sefer called Turgal Arava wanted to come through with the idea that from here, the boundary goes almost all the way down to Eilat, and from here, the boundary will start cutting in this direction. The main problem with this is that this point over here is a corner point between the eastern border and the southern border, and therefore it's pretty much inconceivable to say that the border continues all the way straight down south, when in essence it should be the southern border and it should be heading eastward. So that's why it's close to impossible to accept such a theory. As we know by now, I'm a person who goes by topography, firm believer in topography, and in essence, what we're going to do over here is make the border Nachal Tzin. Over here, Malek Rabim, we're going to mark somewhere over here. And it goes out to a place called Kadesh Barnea, which is a little hard to see on the map. And then going out, somewhat like this, to Wadi El Arish. The main reason I say that I go with this line is because it is topographically makes sense. Now, Kadesh Barnea is mentioned in... in Tanakh numerous times. A, it's mentioned the first time as that was the border when Bnei Yisrael came from the south going into Eretz Canaan, from Kadesh Barnea they sent the Meraglim. That was the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. That was the southern boundary, and indeed it appears like that in Yeshua also. In archaeological excavations in the site, which today is in Egypt, the site preserves the ancient name of Kadesh. It's called Ein Kadis. Preserves the name of Kadesh. And the site over there, they found excavations of a fortress which was destroyed and rebuilt numerous times. A Jewish fortress, a fortress from the Jewish king, from the king of Yerushalayim, although it doesn't mention Yerushalayim by name. And therefore it makes sense that this was a border fortress down on the bottom. Along this line over here, and if I'll mark out over here, I want you to see this thing over here, which is known as the Ramon Crater. A little north of it, this is pretty much the line where they found, if I can just schematically mark a few dots, they found a bunch of fortresses from the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. These fortresses are special that they're all from a short time period. We'd assume they're from the time of Shlomo HaMelech and were destroyed by Parash Yishak. When Parash Yishak came and made his conquest in Canaan, in Sefer Melachim Aleph, after Shlomo died, the days of Rehavam, it only mentions that he went to Yerushalayim. It doesn't mention the rest of his conquests. But in a place in Egypt called Karnak, he built a wall in the temple, and there he describes the conquest. And his conquest basically went in two directions. One was he went up into the heart of the country, all the way into Eber Yarden, back up here and came down, and the second attack was actually led in the southern part, and he lists dozens of places in the Negev that he actually captured. And the only possible site, these fortresses that have been found, the remains of them are the only possible sites, which means they must be from the time of Shlomo HaMelech when they destroyed their Parash Yishak. And pretty much they're along this line over here. They don't go much further south than the line of Nachal Tzin and the Ramon Crater. So that would seem that the border was this line over here, as we are saying. Assistance for this, Zalchat Ibn Mechavin II, the Shita of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in the Sefer Derech Emunah, that's the way he actually draws the border. He actually draws two possibilities, but one of them is this over here. And it's interesting, he has a very interesting way of looking at things. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Yarden, Yotze Mimar's Panes. The Jordan River goes out from the Panes Cave, which is somewhere over here. Umahalach miyama shel sibchi. It goes through the Chula Lake, which is no longer existent today. Umiyama shel tiberia. It goes through the Kineret, and then umahalach miyored ajenofa liyama gadol until it falls into the Yama Gadol. Where is the Yama Gadol? The Yama Gadol is just the Mediterranean over here. Now, how does the Yarden go into the Yama Gadol? There's no possible way the Yarden goes to the Yama Gadol. So, Abraham Ganevsky wants to say, the Gemara says that, and Yushalmi, Bavli Yushalmi says, Ki hu al yamim yisado v'anor zichonineo. He established Eretz Yisrael on yamim, on lakes, and rivers. And a list of rivers. So in other words, Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by rivers. I want to say there used to be a river over here that poured out from the Dead Sea all the way through Nachal Tzin into Nachal Mitzrayim. That is Rav Chaim Kanievsky's suggestion, and therefore he actually draws the same line, Nachal Tzin line over here. Now whether that is that feasible or not, that's a separate question. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky is of the opinion he draws this border. And well, we can actually leave this here. He draws the border, and he sent this to his father, Rabbi Yashiv Shlita. Rabbi Yashiv writes, he writes that that his words are divrei tam, but he says nonetheless we cannot be makel anywhere above the 30th parallel. Where's the 30th parallel? So on this map, I don't have the exact mark, but if I remember correctly, the 30th parallel runs somewhere around over here. This is the 30th parallel, and Rabbi Yashiv is of the opinion that you cannot be makel on anything that's farther north than the 30th parallel. Now this, as I said, is a big nafkamina for practical application, because there are a lot of moshavim over here, such as Ein Yahav and others, where they're actually growing crops today, and the question is, can you use these crops or is it Eretz Yisrael, and then you have a problem with Shemitah and Tzirichim, etc., or it's Chutz La'aretz because it's past the border over here. And the different opinions amongst the different Badatzim and the Poskim, the Badatzim Shalayim, the Eidei Haredis, for example, is of the opinion that this line is actually the border, and they don't like to bring from the what's known as the Northern Arava. But if they don't have produce from elsewhere, they'll bring from the northern Arava. And as I said, Rabbi Yashiv Shlita, there's machmer nothing above the 30th parallel. Where does Rabbi Yashiv get the idea with the 30th parallel? So in essence, it's in the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. And the Rambam in Kiddush HaChodesh says like this. In Perek Yud Ches, Halacha Tezayin, the Rambam goes to a thing where you can actually see the new moon. And the Rambam says stuff which to us can seem elementary, if you can't see the new moon in countries that are west of Eretz Yisrael, like in Europe, then you know that it wasn't visible in Eretz Yisrael either. And the Rambam goes through the whole thing that the visibility of the moon, of the new moon, in order to declare Rosh Chodesh, depends on what can be seen in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam says, when can I compare and say, if I didn't see it in Europe, then it wasn't visible in Eretz Yisrael. If I saw it in Iraq, then it definitely is visible in Eretz Yisrael, because it was visible east of Eretz Yisrael, it's definitely visible in Eretz Yisrael. V'chol eilu advarim, Rambam says, Perek Yud Ches Halacha Tezayin. V'shoy amdina shebamav shebamizrach mechuvanos. That the countries, the east or west that we're talking about, are on the same height, on the same height, the same parallel like Eretz Yisrael. Kigon shirinotos etzfon ha'olam, Mishloshim Malos ad Chomesh Ushloshim Malos. That they were within the parallels from 35th parallel to the 30th parallel. That is equal height to Eretz Yisrael. Avlima notice itself on Yesemizeh, Opochos, Mishpatim Achirim Yeshan. But if this country that's east of Eretz Yisrael is higher than the 35th parallel, and it wasn't seen there, so it doesn't mean it's going to be seen in Eretz Yisrael, or vice versa, because it's not the same parallel, so you can't really compare that to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam basically says that Eretz Yisrael over here is from the 35th parallel to the 30th parallel. And therefore, Rabbi Yashiv holds that you cannot be Mekel above the 30th parallel to bring produce. This Rambam Okay, it's one of the big tainus of Zalman Koren said that on this opinion is that really the Rambam is not talking about the end of the 30th parallel, he's talking about the beginning of the 30th parallel, which means from the 29th parallel, which means going even further down. So it says be machmer based on this Rambam, so then you can't be machmer just to here, you have to be machmer even further to the 29th parallel. That's one of his strong tainus on people who are machmer because of this Rambam. Secondly, he says, even if, let's say, we were to accept this Rambam face value, once again, the corner over here of this border must be no more than a 45 degree angle, which means here it begins the southern border. It cannot be a straight line. So from here it's going to have to be no more than a 45 degree angle. So if it somewhat gets down to the 30th parallel, it's going to happen over here, but it's not going to be in this territory over here. So therefore it says over here we shouldn't have any problem. Even if we go by the 30th parallel, it shouldn't make a difference regarding to the territory of the Arava, which is practical application nowadays, whether you can have the eat these crops. He wants to say altogether a different shot on the Rambam and the Chaskila Shachodesh. We're not going to go into it. The Rambam over there is complicated to understand the Pshat, what he's trying to get to. But it does seem that the Rambam had some, when the Rambam said this, he actually meant these, I shouldn't be misunderstood. As I said, Rav Koren and others want to say the Pshat in the Rambam is not Kipshutoi and there wasn't a Kedusha by Yisrael, he's just talking general. The Rambam, though, when he talks about Har Ahar, he identifies it with a place called Banyas. And Banyas, we're not talking about the Banyas that we know today in Eretz Yisrael, it's something on the Lebanese-Syrian coast. And it is 40 miles off the 35th parallel. So the Rambam mentions Banyas in his Tshuvas in Per Adar, and if he mentions this and it's right off the 35th parallel, so then it's clear that the Rambam, when he says the 35th parallel to the 30th is the territory of Eretz Yisrael, so then he actually meant it Lemaisa and not that it's theoretically Eretz Yisrael, as others want to suggest. So that's why, as I said, Rabbi Yashiv Shlitz is Machmer not to bring produce from anywhere above the 30th parallel based on this Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. Others say this is a Rambam in Kiddush HaChodesh, is not talking about Halacha L'maisa, what the borders of Eretz Yisrael are. What the borders of Eretz Yisrael are, the Rambam already talks about in Hilchos Trumos and talks about in Hilchos Shmita and Yovel. He's not going into that over here. Here it's a different explanation, but it doesn't have bearing on the borders of Eretz Yisrael. That's how that's the issue with the southern border. That we're talking about the pockets of the Eretz Yisrael that do not have Kedusha Shvi'is. The Yerushalmi in Demai says like this, and this is a Gemara in Chulin also, part of it's a Gemara in Chulin, and we have a whole shiur on that, and we're not going to repeat what we said then. Rabbi Hitir Beit Shan. Find Beit Shan. Not the Beit Shan Valley, sitting right over here. Rabbi Hitir Beit Shan. Rabbi Hitir Beit Shan. Beit Shan over here is in the Jordan Valley. And Rabbi was Matir Beit Shan. He said Beit Shan does not have Kedusha Shemitz. The Yerushalmi Demai adds a couple other things. Rabbi Hitir Kesrin, Rabbi Hitir Beit Guvrin, Rabbi Hitir Kfar Tzemach. Rabbi was Matir, the territory of Kesri, which is Caesarea, which is located over here, so Rabbi Chan. And Rabbi was Matir Beit Guvrin. Beit Guvrin is going to be a little difficult to find on this map, but okay, we'll locate it somewhere over here. Is a fair guess. Rabbi Hitir Beit Guvrin. So Rabbi was Matir these places that do not have Kedusha Shemitz. The reason given in the Gemara in Maseches Chulin, the Gemara says that Habek Rochem Kavshu Olim Mitzrayim, v'lo kavshu Olim Bavel. There are a lot of territories that Olim Mitzrayim captured. Olei Bovel didn't capture. And they left them so that the poor people should be somechan in Shvius, they should have what to eat. So these are the places. And last time we mentioned how much is Beit She'an. Admas Kodesh, Rabbi Yitzchak Goldhar wanted to suggest that the whole valley of Beit She'an, 214 square kilometers, all of that should not have Kedusha Shvius, and that's how you wanted to solve the Shemitah problem in modern times. 214 square kilometers is enough area to grow enough crops for everyone, and that, if it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, so we solve the problem. The Chazon Ish was vehemently opposed to this idea for various reasons. One, he says, when Rabbi was Matir, he wasn't Matir on such a broad scale, but he was Matir on a narrow scale. And it says, since we don't know exactly where the city of Beit She'an was, we really can't be makel at all. The fascinating discovery of the mosaic floor in a place called Rehov near Beit She'an, which we have a picture of over here. Was discovered in a shul, as I said, near Beit She'an in the fields of a kibbutz today known as Ein HaNetziv. As opposed to other shuls from the Byzantine period, which had all types of drawings of Aron Kodesh and other Jewish symbols from that time period, this is an inscription. And the inscription on it is basically halachos of Tluas Bar. It's halachos of Shemitah. And it's dedicated a lot to the issue of Beit She'an. Which fruits are mutter in Beit She'an, which vegetables are mutter, which are not. If you go into the marketplace, which is grown locally, and thus it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, and which is grown from far away, and does have Kedusha Shvius. All types of halachas. And on it, we can say that this is the oldest written form of Torah Sheba'al Peh that we actually have today. That was written probably 5th, 6th century, the oldest piece of Torah Sheba'al Peh that's written, which means the Girsa over here, Girsos changed over the years, especially considering that there are lots of names which people weren't familiar with later on. This can be the most accurate of the texts. I'm not going to go through the whole text now, but as we mentioned, it has the halachas of what's mutter and what's aser, and has the boundaries of Beit She'an. And it's clear from this, without going into full details, it's clear from this text that the boundaries of Beit She'an were, as the Chazon Ish was of the opinion. As the Chazon Ish was of the opinion that they are small boundaries around Beit She'an, not large areas, which means not like the Admas Kodesh, who wanted to include the entire valley of Beit She'an, but rather only a small area, as the Chazon Ish said. But besides this, Rabbi was Mata, as we mentioned, two other places. The territory of Caesarea, Caesarea, and the territory of Beit Guvrin. What's interesting is, as we shall prove, the situation over here is totally different than that of Beit She'an. An interesting story is the status of a city near Lod called Ramla. Ramla used to be a very well-known city in Eretz Yisrael. On the road between Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv, you had to go through Ramla. Modern times, of course, you have a new road, so we don't go through Ramla. Ramla, also, really hard to find it here, but even Lod doesn't appear here on the map. But let's figure that Ramla is somewhere near that X. So what's the problem with the city of Ramla? The Tzvus Haaretz, Yosef Schwartz, page Memvav. Ashdod, Eretz Yisrael Mamash, B'tchum Ali Bovel. Ashdod was captured by Ali Bovel, V'chein Kol Chevel Hayam, Yavne, Yafo, Charim, etc. V'chein Ramla V'lot. Uma She'omer Ramla Chutz La'aretz, Lo Yadati Shorash Hadavar. And that which they say, that Ramla is Chutz, saying the whole coast over here is Eretz Yisrael. And that which they say, that Ramla is Chutz Laretz, he says, I have no idea where they got this from. V'chein kosav al kaftor v'fach, she Ramla Eretz Yisrael tchum olei bovel. And that's what the kaftor v'fach says. However, אכן כפר לודים לפי משמעו שלוש שנה שעס ויש מסך הסגיטין מוכח של מקום שלו לבר לברו חוץ לארץ אף על פי שמוב לו בתחום הארץ ישראל. However, כפר לודים, he says that is חוץ לארץ. So let's try to make heads or tails of what's going on here. For some reason, which we're going to try to explain, for some reason they had an idea that Ramla is Chutz Laretz, and another place that's Chutz Laretz is Kfar Ludim. So what do we have in the Mishnah Maseches Gittin? Hamei v'get, Dav Bei Samad Aleph, Hamei v'get Minas Hayom, Tzach Shiyom Afanei Nechta Afanei Nechta. A person brings a get to Eretz Yisrael from Medina Sayom, from a faraway land, must say, Bifanei Nechtam, Bifanei Nechtam. In brief, he must validate the get before he can give it. Rav Gamliel Omaf, maybe Min HaRekam or Min HaChegah. Even a person brings from Rekam and Chegah, Rav Lezer Omaf, Afilu Mikfar Ludim LeLud. Rav Lezer says, even if he brings from Kfar Ludim to Lud, he must also say, Bifanei Nechtam, Bifanei Nechtam. Rav Lezer, the city of Lod, is actually the proper way to pronounce it. Rav Lezer lived in the city of Lod, and he says a person who brings a get from Kfar Ludim to Lod, he must say Bifanei Nechtam, Bifanei Nechtam. So where is Kfar Ludim? So the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph says, Va'ama Abaye, Ba'ayores Asmuchus L'Eretz Yisrael, Umavlaos B'tchum Eretz Yisrael Askina. When we say Kfar Ludim to Lod, and Lod, by the way, is right next to Ramla, when we say Kfar Ludim to Lod, we're talking about Kfar Ludim is a place that's near Eretz Yisrael, and it's Muvla in the Tchum of Eretz Yisrael, meaning all around it is Eretz Yisrael, but Kfar Ludim itself is Chutz Laretz. V'yamar Rabba Babachana Ledidi Chazi Leho Asra. I saw this location, V'avi Kim Beikuvi LePumbedisa, and it's from Beikuvi to Pumbedisa. The distance of Kfar Ludim to Lod is from Beikuvi to Pumbedisa, which, if I remember correctly, the Gemara in Masechah Sukkah sounds that it's not really all that far away. So we have over here a Gemara which states that next to Lod, you have a place that is Chutz Laretz, and therefore the Tevuas Haaretz wants to say, he says that even though he declared that it's Eretz Yisrael, and so says the Kaftar Beferach, he says in the bottom, Ula Machar Yon Amati Shein Safek Shedavuz the Mekubal Yoshwe Oretz Sheram Lechutz Laretz. After he says he changed his mind. You know, I said Ramla is Eretz Yisrael, but people have a tradition that Ramla is Chutz Laretz. V'chalila Loma Sheker Nochla V'seinu. And how can we say that they're saying, what they're saying is false. V'chakarti El Be'ala Dovar Azeh. And I did a lot of research into this question, why is Ramla Chutz Laretz? Then in Masechas Gittin, Haniska Mucha Shekvar Ludim Muvla B'Tchum Eretz Yisrael. V'zeh Raya Shashem Olechu Degvul Tchum Eretz Yisrael. Says from this Gemara in Gittin, that it says that Kfar Ludim is Chutz Laretz, and it's next to Lod. So we see clearly that there is a place in the vicinity of Lod, which is Chutz Laretz. So there's your issue. There is your source. Matzasi Rishalmi Demai, he quotes Rishalmi, Rebbe Yitir Beis Guvern. Rebbe was Matir Beis Guvern, which is approximately over here. And Masaf Masachas Alas, he says Rebbe was Matir Kemi. And Kemi is east of Lod. And therefore, Kemi is east of Lod. And therefore, he says that the whole area over here is the Ritua of Beis Guvern. In other words, in other words, Beis Guvern is here, and he wants to say that from Beis Guvern, all this area over here is Chutz Laretz. From here, this whole thing, this whole area, would be a two of Chutz Laretz. And Kaini, he says, is east of Lod, which is somewhere over here. Now, Mrs. Yosef asked a question. He says, if so, Ramla is, I didn't draw this exactly because I don't have a perfect map here, Ramla's on this side of Lod, and Katie's on that side of Lod, and how are you going to make it that Lod is Eretz Yisrael, and on one side is Chutz Laretz, and on the other side is Chutz Laretz? If all this I would talk about over here is the same Ritzua, the same strip from Beis Guvern, then it just doesn't fit. That's number one. Another question on this, I would say, is we're talking over here about a length of 46 kilometers, which is a pretty major portion over here in the heart of Eretz Yisrael, to say that this actually does not have Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. We have two points basically, the point of Ramla and the point of Kfar Ludim. So we're going to try to solve them, and in my humble opinion, The two are totally not connected, each one to the other. What is the source? In other Svarim we have the reason why they said Ramla is Chutz La'aretz is because Ramla was called Palestine. And it was called Palestine. And Palestine means it's Eretz Plishtim. And Eretz Plishtim is not Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Now for that, the Tevuah Sa'aretz already said, Ashdod, Ashkelon, all of that is definitely Eretz Yisrael. So he rules out that possibility that it shouldn't be Eretz Yisrael because it's Eretz Plishtim. Now, where did the Plishtim settle? The Plishtim had five cities, as it says in Sefer Yehoshua, Perkin Gimel, Zosos and Asheres Koglios of Plishtim, B'cholag Shuri, and it lists five cities. Chamesh Yisani Plishtim, Ha'azasi, Vashdodi, Ashkeloni, Hagati, Vekroni, Vohavim. The six, the Gemara Chulin asked the question how the six came in. They're basically three coastal cities, which we know for sure, without any question. The city of Gaza, over here, the city of Ashkelon, over here, and the city of Ashdod, over here. These are the coastal cities. The other two cities inside are Gaza and Ekron. A little hard to see them on the map, but today they're pretty much identified, we'd say, somewhere like this. Ekron north and Gaz over here. I may be a drop off over here. Let's get this out. It's something like this over here. Gaz and Ekron. These are the five cities. What some want to suggest. There was no positive identification in those days for Gaza. Some wanted to suggest that Ramla over here is that city of Gaza of the Plishtim cities, and therefore it has the din of Chutz La'aretz. So first of all, the Tevuah Sa'aretz already says that Eretz Plishtim definitely is captured by Oli Bavel also, and has Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, archaeologically speaking, the Plishtim settled on the southern coast of Eretz Yisrael with Nachal Sorek being on the border. They did not. There are some stages they appear for in the north, but basically the Plishtim are sitting over here south of Nachal Sorek, and Ramla is north of Nachal Sorek. So the chance that Ramla is Gaza, so the Plishtim is not a high percentage that that's what it is. So what is going on over here? So the secret of Ramla we'll tell you now. The Ramla says a very interesting thing once again in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh. The Ramla talks about it. The Rambam talks about 2 days Yom Tov and 1 day Yom Tov. Now to us, it's pretty simple in our minds. In Eretz Yisrael, we keep 1 day Yom Tov, and Chutz La'aretz, we keep 2 days Yom Tov. That is the opinion of the Ritva, and which is the minig, the current minig today in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam has a totally different opinion. He says you do, of course, 2 days Yom Tov because in antiquity, when they didn't have a set calendar, they did not know which day is going to be Yom Tov. They didn't know if the month, like in this case, had 29 days like we have, and therefore a 15th day from now will be Pesach, or other might have been 30 days and Rosh Chodesh will be tomorrow, and then Pesach will be a day later. Because of that, they keep 2 days Yom Tov. So the Rambam says, Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, Perikei Halachotis. The keeping of 1 day Yom Tov does not have to do with how close it is to Yerushalayim. Ketzad. If there's a place that's within 5 days travel distance from Yerushalayim. So we don't say for sure that you keep 1 day Yom Tov in that place. Why? Rambam says, who knows that in the ancient times the shluchim went out in that direction? Maybe in those days there were no Jews living there, so the shluchim didn't reach over there, and now Jews sailed there. But so the Rambam says, even if you have a place that's within range, that the people could know on time within 5 days. So by Hey Nisan, they already know the truth. Is it Hey above Nisan? The Ram says that doesn't make a difference. And it could be still that you have to keep 2 days nonetheless. So the Ram says, Nimtze Ikar Dover Al Derech Zukachu. So the Ram says, so what is the rule? He says, first of all, if it's more than 10 days travel, then for sure you have to keep 2 days. Why 10 days travel and not more? we'll leave that for now, but in Tishrei, when you have Yom Kippur, etc., so it cuts off travel days, so you're left within 10 days travel. So Rav says, if it's more than 10 days traveling distance, then forget about it. Then you definitely have to keep Tishrei Yom Tov. But if it's less than 10 days traveling distance, 10 days or less, so we see, if it's a place in Eretz Yisrael, that we know that Yisrael lived there at the time, and he lists a bunch of places, Usha, Shfaram, Lod, Yavne, Nov, and Tiberia, and other places we know there were Jewish people living there, you do one day. And if it's in places like in Syria, or Tsar, on the Lebanese coast, and Damascus or Ashkelon, or Mitzrayim, Amon, and Moav, so then they follow their custom. If the custom was to keep one day, they keep one day. In other words, it shows that in antiquity, the Shluchim used to get there, and therefore they know that it's the proper thing, and they keep one day. But if they keep 2 days, then obviously that was a place where the Shluchim didn't get to, so they keep 2 days. So Rav says, if it's a place in Eretz Yisrael that's known where Jews lived there, you keep one day. If it's a place that's far away from there, so then you go by the minute. Then the Rambam says, Halach Yud Beis, Malkam Shebeinu Avinu Yerushalayim Asar Yom HaPachos Masar, a place that the distance from Yerushalayim is 10 days or less. V'Syria Ochutz Laretz, and it's Syria Ochutz Laretz, V'Ein Lam Minag, they don't have a custom. O She'ir She'nizchad She'b'Midbar Eretz Yisrael, or it's a city that was a new city that was built in a Midbar Eretz Yisrael. O Malkam Sheshachnu by Yisrael Atar, a place where the Bnei Yisrael sit, settled down. Osimatash Nayamim to Minak Rav HaOlam. So they do 2 days. So the Rambam says you can be in Eretz Yisrael and you keep 2 days if it's a place that's a new Yishuv that wasn't around in those days. It said on the Brisker Rav that they one time came to him on the second day Yom Tov. They asked him to sign a certain thing, and the Brisker Rav refused to sign, and he found all types of excuses why not to sign. So finally, you know, when they put him against the wall and they ask him why not, he says it seems he didn't do Melachos Daraisa on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. Of course, the Brisker Rav had his own reasons for everything, but one of the reasons given is that he was Choshesh for this Rambam, that if it's a place that wasn't settled by Jews in time by Hasheni, so then you have to keep 2 days. So Yerushalayim, of course, kept 1 day, but Rav Press, that's already outside of Yerushalayim of then. So therefore, you have to keep, Misafik, you have to keep 2 days. That's what, I'm sure the Brisker Rav said this, so people, again. Anyway, that is the opinion of the Rambam. Now, where did the Rambam get this halacha from? The Rambam, as we know, one of the biggest tainus they had against the Rambam was that he didn't write his sources. And later on, the Rambam admitted that that was one of the tainus that was a good tain against him, why he didn't write his sources. But we do know that in the Kafta of Aferach, who lived 200 years after the Rambam, he writes a fascinating thing. He says, Ram Levelod, the city Lod, which we mentioned, which the Rambam says clearly keep 1 day. He says, Ram Levelod, he says, I can't make heads and tails of the story, because all they are is 1,500 amas apart. And Lod keeps 1 day Yom Tov, and Ramla keeps 2 days Yom Tov. I can't really figure out what's going on. So he wanted to say that it's Chutz Laretz, but as we saw over here, he quotes the Kafta of Aferach, that he says Ramla is clearly Eretz Yisrael. So, it's a capella on the Kafta of Aferach, that he didn't know the Rambam. I'm sure he knew the Rambam. But there's the answer. Ramla is a new city. Ramla is actually the only city that the Muslims built in Eretz Yisrael. Every other city they rebuilt. The city that they established is the city of Ramla in the 7th, 8th century Lemanyana. Nothing before that. And since it was a new Yishuv, therefore they kept 2 days Yom Tov. Nothing to do with the fact that it's Chutz Laretz. It's Eretz Yisrael Chol Dovra, beyond question, as the Kafta of Aferach says. But since it was a new Yishuv, there were no 2 days Yom Tov. And this is where the Rambam got the minhag. The Rambam is recording the minhag, that this is a minhag in Eretz Yisrael. He's saying the fact. The Rambam was in Eretz Yisrael in 1165, and must have seen it, must have known the minhag. And based on this, probably is where the Rambam got it. And Ramla kept 2 days Yom Tov. It has nothing to do with the fact that Ramla is Chutz Laretz. As I said, it's a clear question on the Kafta of Aferach, how come he didn't put two and two together with what the Rambam mentions? Lod, for example, he brings over here in the list, but But that is Ledaiti, that is clear that the story of Ramla is Eretz Yisrael L'chol Davar. It's not a city of the Plishtim. It has nothing to do with Ben Guvin. The only issue was that they kept 2 days Yom Tov. Interestingly, in modern times, the question came up, 2 days Yom Tov or 1 day in all types of new places and new Yishuv. And the Chazon Ish says that the Minig is not like the Rambam. The Minig is like the Ritva. That it goes by the borders of Eretz Yisrael. What's in Eretz Yisrael, you keep 1 day Yom Tov, not 2. So we see that there was a time when they were not like the Rambam, but in the time of the Chazon Ish, Shulchan Aruch, for example, it's clear that this minhag didn't exist anymore. So that's what Chazon Ish says, and there's the show, we keep 1 day Yom Tov, regardless, even if it's a new Yishuv. I want to mention here that in the list that the Rambam brings over here, Usha Shvaram, he mentions the city of Nov. In the Frankel Rambam wanted to say Nov is this area that's on the other side of the Kinneret in the Golan Heights, but I believe it's probably a village not far from Yerushalayim, which was known as Nubia, which was identified as Nov Ir HaKohanim. Again, the Rambam was in Eretz Yisrael. He saw these things. He knew they corresponded to correspondence from Eretz Yisrael. So that answers up the story with Rambam. What about Kfar Ludin? How come Kfar Ludin is Chutz La'aretz? For this, we get to the Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. And the Mishnah of Maseches Gittin says like this. A person is traveling mi Yehuda l'Golil. He's traveling from Yehuda, which is the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, to go to the Golil. And then he gives his wife a get. And he says, Harezi gitech m'lebosim mikan v'ashloshim yom. If I didn't come back in 30 days, the Maskana of the Gemara is that Antipras is the northern boundary of Yehuda, and Kfar Osnai is the southern boundary of the Golil, and anywhere in between, Matili Noisel Chumra. Anywhere in between is in limbo. Did he actually get to the Galil or not, since he left Yehuda? But he didn't make it to the Galil. The map, better maps actually, have been published in the Schadenstein Yerushalmi Shvi'is Art Scroll, volume 2 in the back, designed by yours truly. I'm going to make schematic lines over here, so we'll know a little what is going on. The Antipras we're gonna put something like this, and the Galil we're going to have so in other words, Antipras is somewhere over here, and this black line here is the northern boundary of Yehuda, and Kfar Osnai is somewhere over here in the Galil. Road 6, by the way, if you take Highway 6 today in Eretz Yisrael, so the road actually goes in the route of the ancient road and cuts through right next to Antipras, and then we'll get to the Kfar Osnai by Tzamek Megiddo. So this territory over here, the Gemara says, is in between Yehuda and Golil. Now, when we said Rabbi Hittir, we mentioned Rabbi Hittir Beit Shaan, and we proved the Chazon Ish, and the Rehov Mosaic proved that when he was Matir Beit Shaan, it was a small territory of Beit Shaan, not a large territory. But Rabbi was Matir Kesri. How much is the territory of Kesri? So what's interesting is that in the mosaic, the same mosaic that we said before, it mentions the cities of Kesri. And two of the cities it mentions is the city of Dar and the city of Kfar Sava. So the city of Dar is over here, and Kfar Sava is actually, according to Josephus, very close, if not the same, as Antipras. Antipras is a city that Herod built, which he named after his father, Antipater, and he writes that he did it in the valley of Kfar Sava. So in other words, which Dor and Kfar Sava is again that same line of Antipras and Kfar Otnai. Pretty much the same thing. Antipras here, Kfar Otnai here, Dor and Kfar Sava, in other words, basically reflects the same line, which would mean that the territory of Caesarea that Rebbe was Matzah in this case is this type of gigantic territory that we see over here. Now, one more question, which I didn't mention before. The suggestion, which the Tvos Haaretz and the Mishnas Yosef bring, that Kfar Ludim is Chutz Laretz, because it's that territory of Beit Guvrin which Rebbe was matter. That is what they want to say, why Kfalud is Chutz Laretz. This is very problematic, because when Rebbe was matter these territories, Beit Shean, Kesri, and Beit Guvrin, the people were upset at him. How could you be matter something that was also all the generations? Chavru all of Echav Beisavim, the Gemara says in Chulin in the first parak, and it says, Mokom Shavosecha, Vavos Avosecha, Noga Bo Yisra, Atati Noga Bo Heter, a place that your fathers and forefathers were all Noga Yisra. How are you going to be matter it? And likewise, the same thing is brought in the Yerushalmi and Demai. So what do we see? We see that until the days of Rebbe, these territories were all considered Eretz Yisrael. So it can't be that when Rabbi Lezer talks about Kfar Ludim as being Chutz Laretz, he's referring to a territory that Rebbe was not here, because Rabbi Lezer was before Rebbe, and until his days, there were no Eretz Yisrael. So that suggestion is another reason why it's hard to take that suggestion. So Kesari indeed is what Rebbe was not here. But what about this territory over here? This territory over here is called Samaria. This is the territory of the Kusim. And the Kusim, the Gemara says, Yehuda and Gala was a Shas Cherum. When people wanted to come to Yerushalayim, the Samaritans would literally kill them. And we know stories, Josephus talks about it, the big competition of Yerushalayim versus Hagrizim, the Samaritans would literally kill them. And in order to get to be all the regular from the Galil, people would go one of two routes. Either take this route over here, near the coast, which was already the territory of Caesarea, and not in the Samaritan territory, or they would go around, cross the Jordan River, and come here and cross back. Because going over here, this was no man's land. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Stam Yehuda v'Golo k'shas cheirum domi. To travel between Yehuda and Golo is a sakonis nefashos. And that's the reason why. And the Gemara Chagiga also says that Ritzua shel kusim of sekas has a din of chutz laretz. So this territory of Caesarea was Eretz Yisrael until the days of Rebbe. But the Ayar Shel Kusim, the Yerushalmi brings in Shmiz, Nagu Ben Heter Mimei Yoshua Bin Nun. There were no Heter from the days of Yoshua Bin Nun. Now Yerushalmi says, as a discussion, is it Eretz Yisrael or not, etc. But it could be, therefore, that when it says, that Rav Leza says, that you bring again in Kfar Ludim, and Kfar Ludim is outside Eretz Yisrael, it's talking about something that was probably over here. And Kfar Alot is about over here. Again, the Gemara gives a distance, Mekuvi Lepumbadisa, which I have to check. I really have no way of accurately knowing. Rabbi Babachana says he saw the site. Is this within the range or not? But evidently, it was probably one of those villages of the Kusim that was sitting right over here, somewhere within the Tchum of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it was considered Chutz Laretz at the time, even before Rebbe. Rebbe later on was Mati the Tchum of Caesarea. I want to finish off by saying that the mosaic in Rehov has a very interesting thing. It says that even though all these places, Rebbe was matir, but if there's a place that a Jew bought it, so Rabbi Senu Rechoshesh, that it does have Kedushas Shmias. So, when we talk about the practical application today, even if we can pinpoint and say that these territories were definitely the areas that Rebbe was matir in the ancient times, but today, since it's owned by Jews, we're back to the thing that all the dinim of Shemitah apply. Which is also probably the way that these things became us in the first place. Because it's something a little hard to understand. How all the years, Beit Shan was us. And suddenly Rebbe comes along, someone brings testimony of Rebbe from Beit Shan, and all of a sudden became mutter. And it was all the years, was it us by mistake? And the answer is no, it wasn't us by mistake. But the territory that was owned by Jews became us. And later on, the territory was no longer owned by Jews, and therefore became mutter. We gave a whole shiur on that when we discussed the status of Beit Shan, the Morav Tzia, discussed the status of Gush Katif, likewise, Machlokas Maharit and Rabbas, whether Kedushas Shavis is knowing there or not, and his conclusion is that even if it's not, but when it's owned by Jews, then Kedushas Shavis is knowing. So therefore, for practical application, all these places are considered Eretz Yisrael or Choldavar, and you can't be Mekel on any of these pockets that I mentioned, and the southern border we mentioned, this area, that's Machlokas. But that's B'shas Avchak is Meikel, Rabbi Yashu is Machmir, but in Eretz Yisrael proper, in the Beit Shan area, as the Chazanish says, we can't be Meikel at all.